It's good to see you all this morning, and thanks for joining us today. What a beautiful morning. Sunshine coming in. It's a perfect Minnesota day, right? The sun and the snow. It was funny is, I'll tell you a little bit more about this in a minute, but on Tuesday at our staff meeting, Jamie, Christine, and I started planning the summer and thinking about summertime, and then it snowed, you know, 13 inches, right? So it was a good reminder to not think too far ahead yet, but we are trying to a little bit. Welcome to our very brand new sermon series. You are here on day number one as we sort of enter into this Lent season of a series that we're calling This Is Us. And This Is Us, this series is going to examine our new mission, vision, and value statement document. We're going to be unpacking this document from a biblical standpoint. We're going to be preaching through it for several months, actually. We're going to be preaching the next 5 weeks through this on mission, and we're going to hit Palm Sunday. Easter will be a wonderful time in April. Then we'll come back to This Is Us until the summer starts in June, or Labor Day or Memorial Day weekend. And then over the summer, we're actually going to wade through the parables. And then in the fall, we're going to come back to This Is Us series. That's how long view kind of vision casting this series is going to be for us. And to me, it's an exciting time. I'm very excited for all of what I just said, because it's a way for us to kind of circle around together as a church community and seek the Lord. And here's what I'm praying for, and this is a legit prayer that I want to ask you to also pray for. Ask God to reveal. Like, ask God to move. Ask God to share God's wisdom with us in this season, because as we unpack from a biblical perspective our mission, our vision, our values, what is it that God's revealing to us in this season, both us as a church and us individually, as families, as friends, as community members together? What is God revealing to us? I want to ask that you do that. And in fact, why don't we open up with prayer right now, and then we'll dive in. So Father, we thank you for the beautiful sunshine that's falling all around us, around the church today. We thank you for our friends that are online that have joined us. I pray that you'd be with them wherever they are in the world. We thank you, God, for the opportunity to gather here today together, Lord. I'm so thankful for my son, Josiah, who celebrates his 16th birthday today. I pray that you would help him to know he's deeply loved. And I pray, God, that even as we open up your word now, that we follow your son Jesus' lead in the way that he cares for the world. We pray these things, God, in your name. May you speak to us today. Amen. Now we start today, we kick off the series, the This Is Us series, with the word mission. And we're going to start digging into our mission statement for the next several weeks. Our mission as a church is to inspire people to find and follow Jesus. It literally says, New City exists to inspire people to find and follow Jesus. And there's a lot to unpack in those two words, find and follow. There's a lot of discipleship, evangelistic kind of mindsets that we could unpack, but that statement is what's going to carry us forward. It's a straightforward and direct mission statement, and frankly, it has a lot in common with other Christian churches that you might, if you were to go to their website and read their mission statement, this actually has a lot in common with those mission statements. Now, the term mission is an interesting word. And when we think about that word, we might a number of different connotations might come to mind. For me, when I think of the word mission, I think of the, I don't know, hundreds of mission trips that I've been on in my life over, you know, some 26 years of ministry, 27 years of ministry, where we were in different parts of the world or different parts of the United States and Canada, where we had groups of people serving one another or being served by different people. Those kind of mission experiences were beautiful. I oftentimes think of the word mission and I associate it with different movies that I love, right? Does anybody remember the old Robert De Niro movie called The Mission? That movie was amazing back in the 80s. If you want to look it up, it is a very life-transforming type movie. Or what about the Mission Impossible series with Tom Cruise? I know you're all Tom Cruise fans, right? Don't raise your hand. It's okay. But you got, you know, that choose your mission kind of thing. And then, of course, we think of the military angle. We can't help but think of that when we think of the Ukraine and Russian war, the mission that are associated with that. When people hear the word mission, they may think of a purpose or an objective that as an individual or a group or an organization is striving to achieve. It often implies a sense of direction, a sense of focus, a commitment to a particular goal or a cause. Overall, the word mission is often associated with determination, purpose, and a sense of responsibility or obligation to a cause or community. Now, the Bible is very clear about something. It paints a picture, and I need everyone to hear this, that God birthed you. God birthed you with a dream and something that you and only you have to do. It's a cause. It's a mission. We have all individually and together been called to a mission, and it's my goal this month to unpack what that looks like and what that mission means. Now, I want to start today with a joke. But I'm going to tell you, I don't often tell jokes in sermons. So I'm going to tell you, this might flop. And if that's okay, can you just give me a little bit of grace? Nod your head so I know you're with me, okay? I'm going to start with a missional joke, okay? I heard this joke, I read this joke, I should tell you, about a guy who discovered his mission. And he decided that it was his mission to be a person of non-stop prayer. Pretty big aspiration, right? And so he decided to join a monastery. Okay, and at this monastery, he commits to a life of prayer and silence. And he's only allowed to say two words every 7 years. You follow me so far? Am I a good joke teller? I'm trying to get a little affirmation from the congregation. Okay, good. Two words every 7 years. So he joins the monastery, and 7 years passed, and the elders bring him in, and they ask him for his two words. And he says, cold floors. Those are his two words, cold floors. And the elders, they nod their head and they send him away. 7 more years pass at the monastery, and the elders bring him back in and they ask him for his two words. And the two words that he says, bad food. Bad food. I'm already getting laughter from the crowd. This is going really well. And the elders, they nod their head and they send him away. 7 more years pass. That's 21 years now. And they bring him in for his two words, and he says, I quit. I quit. And the elders say, we're not surprised because you've done nothing but complain since you got here. 6 words. See, not too bad, right? That's okay. Now, in a more serious manner, when you think about mission and as a Christ follower, the starting point for discovering your mission is understanding the mission of the one that we follow, Jesus Christ. If we were to give an overview of Jesus' mission, I would sum it up with 4 words, and they're going to be on the screen. I'm going to explain this to you in a minute, and I just wanted to tell you, this is a very gross generalization. We're not going to spend the entire 4 or 5 weeks unpacking Jesus' mission, although it's going to be our filter through everything, but I want to sum it up with 4 words, and in order for you to help remember these words, they all start with the letter R. Hopefully that's helpful, okay? The first word is the word reach. And what Jesus came to do is reach people who were far from God. Who were far from God. People who were far from God. Now, think about this in our context. I looked this up this week and I saw a couple of different statistics that talked about this. There are anywhere from 50 to 70%. 50 to 70% of people in Edina who are not connected to a church on a Sunday morning. 50 to 70% of Edina people, Edinites, are not connected to a church, and many of them are far from God. Jesus said, go into all the world in Matthew chapter 28, and we are accepting this challenge as a church to go and be a people who reach those who are far from God. The first word that Jesus came to bring is to reach, reaching people who are far from God. The second is the word restore. And this restore represents this. Jesus came to restore God's dream for the world. Jesus came to restore God's dream for the world. As Christ followers, we can no longer just talk about things like poverty or shake our hands at different issues of injustice. We must take action to these issues. Jesus said, God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor in Luke chapter 4. This was part of Jesus' mission, and it must be a part of our mission to restore God's dream for the world. On a side note, one of the things that I would love to see kind of emerge from our congregation is a team of people, a volunteer team of people, who maybe 3 or 4 of you, who would join me, the staff, our leadership team, to pray over where is God calling us to serve the Edina community. If that's something that's on your heart, would you come and talk to me? I would love to think about what this team could look like that could help us pray through and start looking at different communities within our own community that could use our support that we would be blessed from as we jump in and support them. So the second term is to restore. The third R word is reproduce. Jesus came to reproduce the mission in others, because Jesus' vision was to see his mission spread to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, Acts chapter 1 says. Jesus came to fulfill that vision that we must not only do the mission, but we must also apprentice and reproduce the mission in others. Jesus came to give it away, reproduce the mission in other people. And finally, Jesus came to release. Release people into mission, because Jesus calls his followers to be fishers of others and sends them out into mission. Jesus said this in John chapter 20, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." This is part of the Jesus mission: reach, restore, reproduce, and release. And when you put that all together, this Jesus mission, this is how you help people who are far from God find their way back. Or to say it like our mission statement, this is how we inspire people to find and follow Jesus Christ. It's the catalyst for why we've introduced this as our mission. But here's what needs to change. This is not just a mission statement to know. It's not just our church's mission statement. It is your mission statement. It is somewhere here in these words that we are called to is our mission. It's the dream of our life. It's why God created us. It's our life purpose. The first time that I preached here at New City was back in May 2022. Some of you were there, some of you were not. And when I was there, I was not interviewing for the position yet. Pastor Carrie, our interim pastor, she asked me to come and supply pulpit supply. And it was wonderful to be here, got to know you, and it was at that point that we started the interview process, which, thank God, we are now here. It's been a blessing to be a part of this. But back in May of 2022, when I first preached, I shared with you just a great illustration of what I think is something I want to bring up again today, because it matters to our conversation as we follow our missional lead. And I want to tell you about this again, but I'm acknowledging it's the second time maybe some of you have heard this illustration, which I know you keep careful notes of all my illustrations, right? So this will be no surprise to you. But this is the illustration that I titled Blessers versus Converters. Blessers versus Converters. Now, I ran across this doctrinal thesis that is very important in our conversation today, and it was entitled Blessers versus Converters. And the study was based on two teams of missionaries who went to Thailand. They both went to Thailand. And this doctrinal study followed both teams closely to see what the fruit of their impact was. The first team, the doctrinal study labeled the converters. And they went with the sole intention of converting people or evangelizing others around them. They did this by street evangelism, and they held rallies together. And they did things where they challenged people to respond to Christ. Very important. Those are important conversations to have, but that was their sole intention, the converters, okay? The second team was the blessers. The blessers. And they went with the intention of blessing people. They would say, "I'm just here to bless whoever comes my way. I'm here to do whatever I can to be a blessing to the people that are around me, whoever God brings my life. I just want to be a blessing to the people in my community." Now, this study followed these two teams for a couple of years, and it followed their impact. And here's what they discovered. First of all, and this would be no surprise, they discovered that the blessers had a greater social impact than the converters. And this proved out that the first team's intention of blessing the people and the community around them resulted in tremendous amounts of social good. The blessers did a lot of good for people. But secondly, the study found, and this is what's so important and actually surprising, they discovered that the first team, or this team of blessers, also had, listen to this, 50 times more conversions to Jesus than the converters did. The blessers helped 50 times more people find and follow Jesus Christ. The bottom line is this: the best way to accomplish the Jesus mission in our lives and in the life of this congregation is to be a blesser. And this should not be surprising to us. From the very beginning of Scripture, way back in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, God's way to change the world has been through what we'll call a blessing strategy. A blessing strategy. In Genesis chapter 12, and we talked about this passage a couple weeks ago and from a little bit of a different context, but God says to Abraham this, listen to this, I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed because of you. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 and 3. God blessed Abraham. You know the story. God blessed Abraham relationally, financially, spiritually. But the point of that blessing was not for him to simply receive it. The point of the blessing for Abraham and all who followed after him, including Jesus and us, is that we are being blessed to be a blessing to others. Hear it again. We are blessed to bless others. Now we need to stop for a second and let that phrase sink in. It's not a subtle point. It is not an afterthought in this message. It is the message. If you don't get this, you will never discover your mission in life. And nothing else we say for the next 5 weeks will even matter or make sense. Every good thing in our lives has come as a blessing to bless others. You've been given to give away. You've been blessed to be a blessing. It is never just about following the American dream of being, you know, the most comfortable, wealthiest that we can be. It's been given to us to be a blessing to others. And being a blessing to other people is both how you accomplish the Jesus mission and how you discover your mission. You are called to something. You have to discover it. And if that's true, then here's the question. What does it look like to bless people or to be a blesser? How do we do it? Okay? And there's probably many, many ways. But what we're going to talk about this month is a bless strategy, a strategy that we call bless. And to answer this question, there are 5 missional practices that we're going to unpack over the next 5 weeks, starting today. 5 missional practices that I want to share with you over the weeks. And they make up the acronym BLESS. Now, I'm not a big acronym guy, but it's helpful, and it's something that we've used across the covenant. I want to give it to you, and hopefully it will matter to you. It's an acronym around the word BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. Now, before I share the first one with you, let me just say this, that for some of you, the temptation when you hear an acronym or missional strategies, or there's 5 of them, the temptation will be maybe 1 of 2 things. Maybe you'll be like, okay, I just need to know what they all are, so I can just get them done and check them off my to-do list, right? The other temptation is to discount them all together. Maybe you're not an acronym person either, right? Or maybe you're a little bit suspicious about any time somebody challenges you to find your mission, right? But maybe this could be a season where you actually participate in growing in this way, in more understanding more what God is calling you to as someone called to mission, that you were birthed for a mission. You have an opportunity to bless others around you, and I want to challenge you to dig in. Today we begin with the first missional practice in the BLESS strategy, and it is the B, and it stands for begin with prayer. Begin with prayer. The first missional practice is B, begin with prayer, and I know what some of you might be thinking, wait a second, didn't we just spend a month in the late fall, early winter, talking through prayer, preaching through prayer? We actually spent a month of prayer together as a church. Yes, we did, and that was a wonderful time, and we should always talk about this, right? But there is no better place to begin, especially when we think about missional strategies, than with prayer. Let's talk about divine appointments for a minute. Here's a Lent-based challenge for you. We're in the season of Lent, right? We don't have 40 days left anymore, but let's just talk about this block of 40 days, and I've got a Lent-based challenge for you. Over the next 40 days, I want to challenge you to begin each day with a simple prayer. You can do this, okay? Everybody can wake up in the morning, grab your cup of coffee or whatever it is you do in the shower, and pray just for a minute. And I want to challenge you for the next 40 days to pray this prayer. Ask God for divine appointments. Why not? Ask God for divine appointments. Every single day, you and I, we meet different people and have conversations with different people. You might be a remote worker, and you might have interactions with people over Zoom or some other sort of video conferencing system, right? You might be in the service industry, and you're interacting with different strangers all the time. You might be an accountant and working in a cubicle. I'm looking back at my wife. I don't know why. But whatever it is that you do, you encounter different people every day. Why not ask God to do something special in those interactions? And in fact, the challenge, the 40-day challenge is this. When you're in those interactive opportunities, whatever it is you're doing, find a way to sneak this phrase in. How can I bless you today? How can I bless you today? It's a countercultural request. It's an odd thing to think about, but how can you be a blessing to that person? If you're praying this prayer and you're asking this question, you never know what might happen. Praying a prayer like this is both a way of being on mission and also asking God to reveal what is my mission, discovering your mission. And you know why this would be good for us to do? Because it's what Jesus did. Jesus did it this way. This was the only way, this is the way that Jesus began his day. It's the way that he began his ministry. It was with prayer. And in Luke chapter 4, and it's going to be on the screen, it says this, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. This is Luke chapter 4. Jesus went off into the wilderness to fast and to pray. Prayer is how he began his mission on earth. And two chapters later, in Luke chapter 6, he does it again. He is looking to see who will join him on his mission. And so in Luke chapter 6, it says this. One of those days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray. And he spent the night praying to God. And when morning came then, he called his disciples to him. And he chose 12 of them, whom he also designated as apostles. Simon, who was Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon, Judas, and Judas. Jesus prayed before he called his disciples, his apostles. Now, if that had been me, I might have been tempted to skip the prayer part and just look at who's the best leaders that I can pick to be a part of this, right? Who are the best people to be involved in this missional outpost that we're going to establish? But Jesus knew that he needed to pray. He needed to seek the Father's heart before he called the disciples. These would be the first 12, the first ones who he would send out to bless the world and be on mission. You see, it had always been God's dream to bless the world through his people. And originally, that blessing was supposed to come from the 12 tribes of Israel. That blessing was supposed to come from the 12 ancient tribes of Israel. But along the way, they kept focusing on themselves. Sound familiar? Those 12 tribes of Israel kept focusing on themselves and their needs and their status as God's chosen people. They didn't get the mission. And it wasn't just for them to be blessed, it was to be blessed to bless others. But God didn't give up on the dream of reaching and restoring the world. And when Jesus selected the 12 apostles, Jesus was in a sense renewing God's mission to the world by picking the 12 missional representatives. Many scholars, if you read on this, they will tell you that the choosing of the 12, who were all members of the original 12 tribes, was kind of like a replacement of those 12 tribes. God was, in a sense, starting over. He was renewing his plan for the 12 tribes through these 12 apostles. And Jesus started the entire thing through prayer. Now, some of you might be wondering, and I've wondered this too, why did Jesus need to pray? If he was fully God, why did he need to pray? Didn't he just automatically know the heart of God? It's a great question, right? I think that at least part of the answer, it falls with this. Even though Jesus was God in the flesh, Jesus was also fully man, which meant he took on self-imposed limitations of humanity. The Bible says he knew what it was like to be with us, to be us, to be in our shoes. So he became a lot more like us than any of us have ever imagined. Even as God in the flesh, he depended on God the Father, and he looked to God for direction. Now, we don't know what happened that night. We don't know if when Jesus prayed, God like spoke an audible voice and gave him the names of the 12 disciples, right? The 12 apostles. We don't know if it just popped into his head and the answer to prayer came that way. We don't know exactly what happened when Jesus prayed. But what we do know is that Jesus began his mission to bless the world through prayer. And it's interesting to note that the guys that Jesus picked after praying weren't the obvious people. They weren't the first round choices, right? They were common fishermen. They were corrupt tax collectors. There were some that were violent political revolutionaries. There was a lot of just nobodies on this list. People that anyone else would have just walked by and ignored. But Jesus, because he began with prayer, heard the heart of the Father and knew the way he should go. And what we learn from Jesus in this situation is so important. Prayer is both how we do our mission, and it's how we discover our mission as well. Now, I might have mentioned this phrase to you back in November. It's one of my favorite phrases when it comes to prayer. And it's something somebody told me when I first started a ministry in 1993. And it's stuck with me ever since. And it says this: When we work to do something, we work. But when we pray, God works. When we work, but when we pray, we usher in the fullness of God's glory into a situation. And when we start to follow Jesus' lead and pray, asking for divine appointments and actually naming those people in our lives that are far from Christ, things begin to change. Hear this. There are people in our lives that we are called to pray for. There are some people that I've been praying for a very, very long time in my life. Names of dear friends that I would love to see follow Christ. And I've prayed for these people, and in some of those situations, I've seen God move in their life. I've seen them turn and follow Christ. But in some of those situations, I'm still praying, still waiting, still hoping. And it's been decades, right? But been praying for these people. What I noticed is that when I started praying seriously for those people that I care about and participating in this missional strategy, I can say this. I don't know exactly why or how, but something changed in me when I started praying and giving them over to God. First, I think that God is at work in the lives of these people that I'm praying for, in their stories, and there's a holy expectation. I can't wait to see what happens. So I'm eagerly, almost on tiptoes, watching to see, God, will you move? There's a disposition change that happens in me. Secondly, what is emerging for me personally is a missional story. There are people that I've been praying for. When God gets a hold of them, I get to tell that missional story. And I'm growing in my understanding of what this looks like through prayer. And I got to tell you, in this season of defining who we are as New City Covenant Church, and as individuals who participate in this congregation, I can't think of anything better than to set a goal to begin to tell missional stories because we took seriously the call to pray for somebody. Who will you start praying for this year? Who will you start laying at the foot of the cross saying, God, I pray for my mom and my dad, my sister, my brother, my neighbor, my friend, my coworker. Who is it that God has called you to pray that we would eagerly await and be able to tell, look at what God did in their life. It's a missional story. I've got to warn you that if you take this seriously and you begin to pray this prayer, there will be some exciting and challenging, adventuresome, and also dangerous moments in your life. Because if you start praying and following through on God's leading, some crazy stuff will begin to happen. Now I'm going to close with a challenge. I've already given a couple, but I'm going to give a couple more because that's what we do when we're on mission. I'm going to close with a challenge. I want to wrap this up. Now, we have 5 weeks in which we're going to talk about missional strategies, okay? And we're going to lay out this BLESS acronym, okay? And the challenge is this. There's a daily challenge here. It's a perfect Lent idea. I want to challenge you to do one of these missional strategies every day. And since the only one that you know right now is to begin with prayer, Guess what you get to do for the next week until you come back to church next Sunday and hear the second, you know, whatever the L stands for. Don't look ahead. Actually, you can. I'm just kidding. But this week, I want to challenge you to spend every day praying. And here's what I want you to pray for. God, use me to bless your world. Do you hear the difference? I'm not asking you to go out and convert the world, right? God does God's work. No, our challenge is to God, use me to bless the world. Make it your part of your mission. Make your mission clear to me, God. God, use me to bless someone today. And then here's the second challenge, okay? Many of you in this church are in a small group, right? New City small groups. There's a number of other small groups that people are involved in. I want to challenge you, if you are in a small group, and I know there's a small group meeting this weekend, another one meets in a couple weeks. If you're in a small group, why not start with that question? Who did you bless this week? There's something pretty serious that happens when there's accountability in our lives, right? And if you know that Jamie's going to ask you, hey, who did you bless this week? It's going to matter. 7 days of prayer and look for ways to bless people, okay? That's the challenge. Are you with me? I'm trying to judge the room. I'm having a hard time. It's too much sun maybe, but I'm going to say this is a big challenge for us. Who can God use you to bless? As you leave today, maybe when you came in, you'll notice we've just cut up some bookmarks for you to put in your Bible. And it's got the BLESS acronym on it. You can grab one of those. On the back side of that bookmark is a place for you to write the names of people that you're praying for. Okay? We're going to come back to this over the next couple of weeks. So hang on to it. We'll make some more if you lose it. But I want you to take seriously and ask God who, and this is for all our middle school students, all our high school students, and every adult in the room, okay? Who are you praying for? Who has God called you to pray for and offer a blessing to? Write their names on the cards. It's between you and God. You're not going to give it to them or anything like that. But we are going to come back to those cards at the end of this month. So we'll have those available to you. You can grab one on your way out. But you've got your challenge, and we begin with prayer. In fact, let's do that right now and ask God to bless our rest of our day. So God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives, and we thank you, Lord, that you have put us in relationship with people that we are called to be a blessing to. And Lord, I just want to pray right now that this challenge would be exactly where it needs to be for all of us. Lord, this is a unique season in our world. We live in a very complicated time to follow you, a time where there's a lot of scrutiny, where there's an entire movement that defines itself against the church, against the message of hope of Christ. And Father, it's not easy. In fact, we have maybe some baggage on sort of evangelism, missional conversations that I just want to confess to you and lay down at your feet right now. The reality is, God, we live in a world that is broken, where there's people in our lives who are hurting. They're deeply hurting, and they're looking for purpose and identity and belonging somewhere. Would you help us, God, in gentleness, in humility, with an appropriate urgency to bless others in the name of Jesus, not just to be a good person, but Father, because people need your love. They need your healing. They need everything that comes with following you. And God, it's hard and it's complicated and we don't know how to do it, and so we ask that you would guide us, that you would guide us both individually and guide us as a church as we look to be a blessing in the Edina community and beyond. Father, we love you and we give you all the glory for this. May your Holy Spirit instruct our hearts and our minds, and may we follow your lead, God. We love you and we thank you for this time. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All God's people said, amen and amen. Would you stand with me and let's sing together?